You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If this is your first visit with Andy, Nate, and I, welcome aboard. If you're coming back for more, so great to see your smiling face. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Billy Madison to my 51st dates, my dear friend Andy.
Shabbalidoo.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good. Classic Sandler right there.
Oh, man.
Joining us is the Happy Gilmore of our crew, our silent partner Nate, making the sound happen. This is yet another episode that our fans are going to love because I am not on it, Andy.
Drew's not here.
I was laid up on my, literally on my back, having thrown my back out and had the flu in Indiana last week. Couldn't make my flight and was trapped. Couldn't be here to fulfill my duties, which I think is going to be a boon for our listeners because you guys had a great episode. Our guest was comedian Joanne Schindlerly. She's very, very funny, an awesome guest. And stepping in for me was the much more qualified Jason Traeger.
Yes, it was a really fun episode, man. I think everybody
sounds like
really
a blast.
And it was, there's a lot of stuff you're going to enjoy in this episode, and I don't want to talk about it. I just want you to listen to it.
You could be honest with me, Andy. Is Jason better at this than I am?
He was better at it than me.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything about you, but I was really glad that he was there because he really, I can't wait for his podcast to come out.
What's his podcast going to be about?
He's working on a podcast right now. I think it's going to be called The Traeger Method, but I'm not really sure. So.
Well, I like Jason, so I'm not going to shit on it yet, but if he's better than me, you might as well just sleep with him.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we, more importantly, listeners, we hope you enjoy this episode with Andy, Nate, Jason, and Joanne. So have a good time, sans me, this week on Hot Garbage.
Thank you for coming tonight, Joanne.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, too, for coming in, Jason, and filling in the Drew role.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me in the, what would you call this, garage?
Yeah, the garbage pile.
The garbage bed
Garbage banner. I think I called it Garbage Manor for a while.
Garbage Manor. That's charming. I like it.
So, Joanne, can you tell us a little bit about what got you started in comedy? What was it that made you want to start doing stand-up comedy?
In comedy, what started? Comedy stems from tragedy. And that's what happened. In a nutshell, I was a theater kid. And then was trucking along that path. But then wanted to write I was 24 and wanted to write a book, a novel, an autobiography. To be honest with you, I was identity thefted by a live-in boyfriend. And it's a ridiculous story that lasts 3 years. And I really wanted to write it, so I took a lot of writing courses and was going to, like, publish my own book. But then was like, no one's going to buy it if I'm nobody. And so was like, okay, well, cool. Let's combine all of these things that you want to do. You made, like, a list. And then was like, okay, if you want to tell stories, you got to be in front of a microphone, stand up. And then if you want to, you know, you combine your acting career, improv, and then you can maybe get a book deal down the line. So the book never officially got written.
You're writing it right now.
Technically, yes.
You're living it.
I'm living it. Yeah. So that's how it started, was just kind of this idea of like, well, you got to put your money where your mouth is. I never really realized that stand up was a thing until I was later in life. My parents always watched Last Comic Standing growing up, but it didn't register to me that that was something tangible.
You've told me that you see yourself, you think of yourself more as an actress than you do as a comic.
Yes.
Do you see comedy as a way to break into acting?
Well, yes. Hold on one second. That's the first time we've ever had an airplane interfere with our podcast. I hear that on a lot of LA podcasts. They're like, oh, plane break, and comedy bang bang and shit. That was our first one.
That was pretty close. Was a, should we be scared? At least, was this our new bunker? Okay.
Yeah. Well, they've been flying routes over this neighborhood for some reason.
What airfield does that plane go to? Is it going to the Portland Airport?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think there's a bunch of fighter jets that PDX. Do some cool,
that was like a prop thing.
Cool tricks in the air above my house. Cub.
See, in Wisconsin, they're crop dusters.
Crap dusters.
Yeah.
Where in Wisconsin did you grow up?
All over. I was the new kid every year, so I lived in 9 different places.
Why was your family so transient?
Yeah, see, a lot of people say, they're like, oh, you military? I'm like, no, HR. My dad was an HR specialist. But in the 90s, so like big companies, I mean, there's a lot of huge companies in Wisconsin, Phelps Plastics, Ashton Furniture, Golden Plump Chicken, all those places would hire my dad to rework the system.
So you'd come in and fire everyone?
Yep.
He was that guy?
Yeah, and then he'd get let go.
Oh, man. I've fired everyone, and now my job is done.
Yeah. Pardon?
So you'd be there for what, a year or two,
three years? Yeah, yep, yeah.
The next one.
Actually, yeah, when I went to 3 different colleges even, too, and then just because I was trained, I guess, that way. But living in Minneapolis for 5 years was the longest time I've ever lived in one place at one time.
Haven't you been in Portland longer than that now?
Exactly. Yeah, I just celebrated 6 years on January 1st.
Is comedy the thing you've stuck with the longest?
Or are you just about to move?
Yes and yes. Well, who knows about the movie thing, but it is the thing that stuck with the longest, which I think has created the most anxieties of like, oh, because I started my own sewing company before, so I was a seamstress.
It's called Joanne Sewing.
So it's my goats.
Joanne Sewing. That name was taken probably, though.
No, I had this.
Joanne's Fabrics? Was that
Joanne's Fabrics was definitely taken. Yeah. But I will say that for some reason, there's this one Joanne Fabrics outside of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, that 3 women are named Joanne that work there. And so whenever I'd pay with my card, they'd always like, can we get a picture? And so I have a picture
Joanne's.
With me and
four Joanne's. That is a Midwestern moment.
They loved
ever.
It.
It really is. That's
and they amazing. Never remembered me. They were like, it was like.
Always new.
Always new to them.
Oh, that's great. All the better.
And I was like,
that, and they get that excited anytime a Joanne comes into the store.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. Tons.
They probably count you as like 6 or 7 Joanne's. They're like, oh, we get them all the time.
Right.
It's all you.
And they open a door and there's just a room full of pictures like floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
Look at all of our collection.
Oh yeah, they watch me grow. It's weird. I had never met a Joanne that was my age. I'm 31, and I've never met a Joanne that was my age until this past year. A gal I worked with, and she was my age. Her name is Joanne, and I was excited to meet her. We had lunch together, and I was like, "Oh my God, you're Joanne!" Everyone keeps saying, "I've never met another Joanne." She goes, "I know. I keep getting all of your emails." I was like, "Ah."
Whoa.
In my mind, an older woman, 50-year-old.
50-year-old, yeah. 60. Everyone's like, my mom, my aunt.
Yeah, Joanne. Joanne.
Too many different
My names. Name is Andrew. So I had like 7 friends named Andrew, Andy, or Drew at one time.
Did you have to do the last name, the last letter?
There was a lot of nicknames, a lot of last names.
Interesting fact, Andy and Drew share the same first and middle name.
Yeah, we share the same first and middle name. Yeah. Andrew John is very common.
AJ's.
AJ's.
Yeah.
My brother's name is Andrew John.
Yeah, also an Andrew John. The most common name, Andrew John Smith.
Andrew John Jacob Jingle.
Heimer. Schmidt.
Schmidt.
He's a German fella.
Yeah.
Well, here's another fun fact. We're going on this name train. My dad's name is John, and my mother's name is Anne.
Joanne.
And I'm Joanne. Uh-huh. And they didn't realize, and I'm the middle of 3 girls, and they didn't realize that was odd. Until I was in high school, I was like a senior, and there was like parents' night, and they were introducing like John and Anne, parents of, and the announcer goes, parents of Joanne. Like he laughed.
Like they're, you're just a contraction.
Yeah, and he like giggled. And my mom goes, what is his problem? Like she was upset. I was like, well, Mom, you never put that together? And she's like, well, your name's not John Anne. I was like, okay.
Your name is close.
You're never wrong. You are never wrong, are you?
Is that your mom?
My mom, the never wrong woman, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love her. We're the exact same.
So what do you think Portland has that LA and New York don't?
interesting question.
Why do people come here for comedy? Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, I've never done comedy in New York. I've been to the city several times, but I've never immersed myself in the scene there, so I can't speak on that. But I have popped down to L.A. numerous times, and I think that I think it's the environment. I think Portland as a city has so much other outlets to go. You know, you can do a stand-up show and go catch a music show at the same night, you know, or or go get like a nice dinner and then walk somewhere else. You know, you can fit a lot in because of proximity of this town, opposed to LA where it takes forever to travel somewhere. Or like, I think a lot of people are a little bit more neurotic in larger cities because the stakes are a little bit higher.
So is it easier to do like multiple open nights in one, open mics in one night here?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
And Portland's like in LA, if you're at an open mic level, LA is like the worst because nobody goes to open mics down there because there's really amazing free showcases all the time that have, you know, six people who would be headlining a club outside of LA.
And there's no audience members.
Yeah. And so so nobody's going to go like, I'm going to go watch an open mic when you could go watch, you know, six people who have all been on Conan.
But and even the showcases in LA, sometimes there's six people have been on Conan at a show and there's four or five people in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's just so much going on down there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's just a free thing. Whereas here, there's actually, I mean, the best thing about Portland is like, yeah, open mics with audiences and open mics where comics actually watch and pay attention. Because that's the other thing in LA is that you're just racing from one to another and you're not hanging out and you're just working on your own stuff. It's a bad place to develop. It's a good place if you're developed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you're in that, and then there's a really interesting medium ground of, are you developed? Are you developed enough? Like, are you, have you honed your craft in enough? I mean, everyone obviously can still learn and morph. I mean, even the greatest people are still churning out new things, but that middle ground of, okay, cool. Where's the level where you can bounce over to a larger city because you need more powerful people to see you to kind of pluck you up and give you more opportunities.
Curtis Cook's a perfect example of a person who moved, you know, developed in Cleveland, and then rather than going straight from there to Los Angeles, he came to Portland where he, you know, got to meet all kinds of people and get on Bridgetown and be exposed, and then his transition to LA. It's like the perfect place for that middle stage, you know.
Yeah.
Especially in the Bridgetown era, which might be at an end, but.
I hope not. That's such a fun festival.
But yeah, but that's another aspect that like is cool about Portland that it has had that is unique.
Well, I think this is a great spot to play a little bit of music. Let's see, what should we start with tonight? I'm going to start with a really interesting band from Seattle that I came across this week. They've been around for a while. They're called Special Explosion. They had a lot of notoriety in the last couple of years. They played South by Southwest last year. And they have a new, hold on, let me see this. They have a new album out called To Infinity that I really like. There's a brother-sister vocal duo in this band, which is kind of rare. So check us out. The song's called Gladiator.
Same, you know. it's do or die. And what better way to go than the glory of the fight? Than the courage of
talk about your showcase that just had its fourth anniversary, yes. The Control Yourself
Thank you.
Show at the Alberta Street Pub. It is now a Portland institution. I would have to say it's my favorite show in town.
I appreciate awesome. That.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, and you're such a positive, you always say nice things about all the shows, so I'm going to take that as...
Oh, yeah, it's just...
Word is bond.
I mean, it's like a good show in L.A. It has that vibe of, like, quality... And the crowd is like always packed.
Always.
Packed either to the rafters or just to the gills.
From the windows to the walls.
Yeah, and the sound in there is so good. It's like a recording studio. It has that dead sound. The mic is always, it's like a, yeah, it's just, and it's just the perfect comedy room.
Thank you. It really is. The story behind that is interesting, and I'll tell you about that. But I'm for one, super thankful we've had... 4 years, every Sunday, weekly show with an open mic to follow with an extreme amount of names. I mean, if Fred Armisen hits you up out of the blue to come do a drop-in guest set, you know you've made it in a showcase. You know what I mean?
What are some other names? Who else has been through there?
Baron Vaughn, amazing. Sarah Schaefer, James Adomian.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. Hal Sparks.
Hal wow. Sparks.
Who else? Those are just the biggest ones on the top of my head. Aparna Nancharla. Mm-hmm. And Guy, well, and then now it's getting into festivals. So, like, Guy Branum was on it as well. So that's exciting. Someone,
very exciting.
If anyone knows the LA scene, people were like, LA comics are like, this is like the hot tub. This is like Portland's hot tub show.
It is like Portland's hot tub.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And it's free, which is nice. And because I do, I mean, people are like, you should start charging. You know, like we were talking about venue stuff.
At least $20.
I mean, it's the thing is,
just
it's
start selling
worth
merch.
It.
You should have a T-shirt for sale.
I should have T-shirts for sale.
Yeah, because I mean, people from out of town come to see that show. That's probably their favorite thing they did in Portland.
It's very true.
Buy a T-shirt, take home. It's a cool show. Have it. You're nice. Plus, you have a nice, very good graphic look.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's been consistent throughout. Shout out Jordan Wilson Designs.
Who's that?
Jordan Wilson Designs. So when I first moved here, I didn't do comedy for the first like 9 to 10 months. I was directing art shows between Portland and Seattle, and then I quit doing that after like 6 months. I was like, I'm not going to renew this contract. It was too much work for not any. I felt like it was a pay to play thing. It was a Ponzi scheme. So I was like, I'm not going to be that person. I couldn't stand the thought of begging artists to pay me so I could pay my bills. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it just was a whole thing. But I stayed in Portland, got a job at a brewery, Old Town Brewing Company on Northeast MLK. And it was just me waitressing during the days. And Jordan Wilson was a pizza cook. And 7 days a week, And we both were like, what are we doing here? I have other, like, I didn't think I'd be working at a pizza restaurant. I'm like in my late 20s. And he was the same thing. And he wanted to be a graphic designer. I want to do comedy. And we just formed this like friendship. And like, I'm like, cool. If you, he's like, I'll make your poster. And so now he's the lead graphic designer for like, he's thriving. And he's been always super supportive of my comedy. So again, that's what you gain out of Portland community stuff. Just yeah. people doing cool things and side hustle gigs, and also paying their bills and then coming together and forming friendships. So
well, it's good because your shows all have a really good graphic look and it's important.
Yeah. Thank
shows,
you.
Shows quality.
And it's all him. Yeah. Yep. That's great.
It's good. Good synergy.
Yeah. Well, you thank you for that idea. I should probably make t-shirts, and I'm going to do that.
You really should. Yeah. Because, I mean, at least give people an opportunity. I mean, the thing is, I think now people get so much stuff for free. And in Portland, people are used to paying. It's not Los Angeles where it'd be weird. But here, it's like people, it's like if you're not charging, they're happy to give money through like something like that.
Oh, totally.
To support.
Yeah. And if working merch booths at metal shows has taught me anything, make sure you get mostly mediums.
Yes.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that fly off the shelf.
Totally. Yeah. Or V-necks, dude. You got to get those V-necks.
Deep cut V-necks in medium.
In medium. Maybe some tanks. Ooh, tankies.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, I think control yourself. Maybe like control top.
Like a hoodie with your sleeves cut off.
Control yourself.
Control yourself tops. Yes. Dude, that's super on brand.
Control top leggings.
Yes.
Control yourself. Control tops.
That's not a bad idea at all. Because the symbol is like a horn, so you can just put on the ass cheeks.
Yes.
That's great.
So you won the Willamette Week's Funniest Person Award, or you got number one out of the funniest five. And you have your show has its fourth anniversary smash, anniversary. You're on a real run. How do you feel about comedy right now? Do you feel like it's taken your renewed? Do you have a renewed interest in it?
Interesting question. It's one of those moments where they say, like, keep hustling and one day it'll happen. And that's kind of the moment that I feel. I'm like, okay, cool. I've worked really, really hard. And, like, there's no denying that on both comedy and producing wise. So to get 1 year to have all the same, like, kind of recognition come to it, you know, because also it was on that Portland Mercury Undisputable Geniuses of Comedy show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. just a lot of things that you're like, oh, that would be so great to be acknowledged for. And then you get them. And it kind of, for me, all happened at once. But I'm also one of those people that I'm like, okay, cool. Now it can only go down from here. Yeah. So you just got to find new goals. So kind of in that, what it did for me.
My tip on that?
Yeah.
Do all those same things you did that were your goals again.
Yep, exactly.
Just do one more time.
Exactly.
One more lap.
Exactly, one more lap. So it's just those intermittent round of, okay, what's the next thing? And then start, keep going forward.
Do you have a thing in mind?
I've been, I've thankfully been going on a lot of auditions, and so that was great. And then I think I want to do live theater stuff.
Acting.
Yeah, so I'm thinking I'm going to go.
Comedic acting or straight up drama?
Both. My ultimate dream is to be a dramatic actress. Like, it'd be like Jim Carrey status in my mind of just like far out there, and then Eternal Sunshine, you know. But when I was a kid,
Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah. Just ride that wave. When I was a kid, I remember I practiced being an actress, and in my mind, I thought that practicing being an actress was practicing the. Of being in a coma scenes for the daytime television.
It's very important.
Like
to
The
know
Young
that,
and the Restless. So I would just practice.
Like as though you
being
were in a
dead.
Coma.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the best actors can just play dead like a motherfucker.
Oh my God, I would hold my breathing. I mean, could you imagine walking in on your kid, like laying, like middle of the day, just laying in their bed, perfectly folded. Yeah. I had taped, pretending you're dead. I had taped a dental floss in my arm to look like an IV. Like, I did the whole thing.
Whoa, very nice.
Such a weirdo.
Yeah, I remember doing death play as a child for sure. Like, I would you know, march in my the woods behind my house and then pretend I got shot and then fall and just lay there as though I was dying. And
yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be such a trip to be watching this kid.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Kid
like,
suddenly just boom. What? And then he's just laying in the leaves for like 10 minutes. Like he really got shot.
Deep
just
breathing.
Utterly
yeah.
still. Just like a German soldier who just got killed in World War II. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Kids are deep. You're
so
just
deep.
Out psychodramas.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my. The You're, last yeah. words. I would just. Modeling oh, down. So many different takes. What are your last words? Pretend holding hands. Oh God.
Yeah, you get think. Well, you got a flair for drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I think I cried a lot as a kid, so I think I tried to harness that. I'm like, well, how do I make these tears useful?
Can yeah. you cry in command?
Yes and no. I think.
Which
I don't
is
know.
It?
I haven't tried.
The real trick is stopping crying on command.
It's just
oh, that's funny.
Who are your favorite actors or actresses?
Oh, man. I to this day, Sherry O'Terry from her Saturday Night Live heydays has
she
taken the cake.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the best known for Spartan Spirit Cheerleader.
Yes.
Or just like, like the,
yeah.
the cracked out lady.
Isn't she the one, too, with like the, where it's her and Will, I was going to say Will Smith, Will Ferrell, the one where it's like, we have... They're like the Swingers, isn't that her too? Where they
eat oh, eating nothing but ham.
Eating nothing but.
Is that Rachel Dratch in the hot tub?
Oh, is that?
It might have been Rachel Dratch.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you're right. That's Dratch.
But yeah, they're Sherry very, but Rachel Dratch, they're pretty, you know, interchangeable dynamically.
Oh man, over the holidays we introduced my children to Chris Farley, just some old
oh,
like
yeah.
best of.
Funny. Yeah.
SNL. They love it.
Oh yeah,
but loves it.
My son Milo is quoting the motivational speaker Matt Foley
oh, yeah.
constantly
yeah,
to all of his friends.
Constantly.
Oh, it's so good.
He's from Wisconsin. His family grew up down. Well, his parents had moved, so his parents had ended up living down the block from my grandmother before she moved out of the neighborhood. But they would go to the same church, and so they're friends. And my grandmother got to sing at Chris Farley's funeral.
Whoa.
I was Catholic and you guys were Catholics.
Yeah.
Big Catholics.
I remember I've had a huge crush on David Spade, like a huge crush growing up. I don't know why. That was just.
Wow.
He was my guy. I would
David Spade.
Go to the library and like rip out magazine art, like People magazine articles of David Spade and make scrapbooks out of them.
Vandalizing.
Just loved him. And so as a kid, I was like, what, fourth grade or something when Chris Farley passed away? And I knew that my grandma was going to the funeral. I thought it was the coolest thing, how morbid. And I was like, oh, my God, she's going to meet David Spade. And so I remember, like, we asked Mom, like, let's have dinner at grandma's house tomorrow. Like,
trying to maneuver to meet
yeah,
David Spade.
Well, because I wanted to ask her the follow-up questions of how was the funeral.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know. She didn't know, who, you know.
Spade.
Yeah. And so I asked her, and so I brought magazines. I was like, did you ever see this guy? Well, David Spade never went to the funeral. It was too overwhelming. So he was never there, but I didn't know that. And my grandmother just goes, well, I don't know. She goes, I met Danny Aykroyd. I know that. I know who he is. Handsome guy. And I was like, okay. And then she goes, I sat next to this loudmouth African-American man. He spoke so loudly. He just was the loudest guy I've ever met.
Tracy Morgan?
No, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because my sister and I just, like, flipped through every magazine asking my grandma if she could have been lying to us, to be honest with you. Who knows?
Chris
but
Farley funeral.
Growing up, I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
I love your Wisconsin when you do the thick accent. It's so awesome. It's so funny.
Oh, God. I had an audition today for a quote-unquote Fargo accent, and then I practiced it all day because it just pops up naturally, and I get into the... Can I swear in here? I get
Please.
Into the fucking audition, and it goes by so fast. Like it's just I was in there for
lines.
45 seconds.
Are you giving
well,
away?
Okay, here's the first thing. You ask me. I'm here for my safety deposit box.
I'm here for my safety deposit box.
The line. I'll tell. Here's how I delivered it.
Yeah.
Oh sure. Let me go get that for you.
Oh, that sounds just like Fargo.
And I'm sitting there, and in my mind, I go, "Fuck you, Joanne!" Like, you know, but so, cause say it one more time.
I'm here for my safety deposit box.
Oh, sure. Let me go get that for you. Right?
Yeah. Right.
God, just
oh, sure,
normal.
Let me go get that for you.
I know. So it's so funny to me that...
So you just didn't do it?
I've been waiting for this moment. It was a big audition, too. And I don't know what it was. I just walked in, and it just left my body.
Oh, man.
So do it the one way, and then do it the other way. I'm here for my safety deposit box.
All right, I'll go get that for you.
Yeah. Oh, it's just like Frances McDormand.
That sounds just like somebody from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
oh, I was so bummed with myself.
The little guy.
Oh, God, I'll go get that for you. One moment. You want a bow on it or no?
You want a bow on it?
I'm so mad.
Oh, man. Well, let's play some more music. I love it. Sometimes when comedians come on, they're very busy and they may not have stuff to play. So I get to play all the music for you guys. And that is my favorite shit.
Thank you. That's delightful.
So here's a little something from the land down under. From King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. We played them on the show before. They're kind of a psych rock kind of... They're psych rock. That's about it. There's not a kind of at the end of it. They're a psych rock band. They're fucking great. They put this album out, and not only is it free, they put out the masters for free. They'll give you the WAV files for free. If you want to burn this thing and make a vinyl record of it, they have those masters they'll give you for free. They're just like, do whatever you want with this record. It's on Bandcamp. They put it out around Christmas time. It's really good. And they recently put out another complete full length, and it's like $17 for like 12 tracks on Bandcamp. So they're going for a more expensive approach on the second album. But that's crazy that they put out that much that quickly. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And this song's called Deserted Dunes, Welcome Weary Feet.
So
Can you sing, Joanne? Are you a singer?
Can I sing? I don't think that I can, but I had a friend who does sing, was like, why don't you sing? You totally can sing. And I was like, dude, no, I got, I had choir, and my choir teacher never liked me, so he would always, he's like, I'm hearing a flat note, Joanne, and he'd always put me on the spot. Oh. And so I got, like, really self-conscious, and then I just started lip syncing. And really? So then he's like, I hear a flat note, Joanne. I go, jokes on you. I wasn't even fucking singing. And then I'd get attention. And then I just like had a bad thing.
That's awesome.
Have you ever heard of show choir?
Mm-hmm.
Like
the show Glee?
Yes. So the show Glee, it's a real thing, but it's competitive as fuck. And there's like 70 kids on stage. Like
it's called show choir?
Show choir. And it's a big deal.
What
I mean,
kind
it's,
of songs?
It's all hierarchy and stuff. Well, you do... I think how long are acts? Half an hour. And so you break them up into like four or five songs. And then, so there's a ballad that's always normally from like a musical or like a TV, you know, or a movie scene that had a big number or something. And then it's all different genres. We did one time we did Beyonce Crazy in Love for our senior year, which was not a good choice. But our choir director, who in hindsight was probably nuts, I love Beyonce, but it's just not a good show choir, so it didn't fit into the thing. Uh-huh. And but his personal trainer that he had only had for like a week was like, I love this song, Beyonce Crazy in Love, is the year it came out. And she's like, you should do this for your show choir thing. And he's like, yeah. And then she tragically died in a car accident like days later. And so he was like, whoa. We have to do this song is like for her, which was fine, but it was fun. But you're judged, the competition is judged in all these different categories, and flow of the show being one of them. And so we always got nicked points for that. Weird. Yeah. But show choir choreographers get paid so much money. And all they do is come up with dance moves and then show up to a high school for
so
1 week.
The choir dances?
The choir dances. It's like a mini Broadway.
So it's a battle.
Like, it's like a musical.
Yeah.
Is it like,
but now
acting, or is it more like dance? Or
some of it, like little character acting. So, like I had little character parts, like that came out and just like whatever. But I lip synced the whole time, and so I would always get awarded. Like I have awards, no joke. I need to find these. I have printout awards. Joanne Schinderly best facials. For show choir.
That's the thing they rate on.
That's the thing that they rate you on, and. Like there's like best solos, you know, and best whatever, but Joanne's really best facials.
But how did your face look while you were singing?
Because
you're probably lip syncing.
I lip sync.
So you're
so
just concentrating
on
that.
So I just
only.
Danced my fucking heart out and just was like,
and just faced it up.
Oh my god, yeah. To this day, I want to do a lip syncing competition so badly. I'll fucking crush. But all my peers would get mad at me. They're like, she's not even doing all the work. I don't know. What a crazy life. Growing up, there's a lot of weird. Were you guys in extracurricular activities?
No.
No?
I was in a lot of sports, but like I was like the kid who wasn't good at sports, who was just there, you know?
Yeah.
Because you were tall.
Like my dad was a wrestler, so I had to follow in the footsteps and do the wrestling thing for a while until I was finally just like, I hate this. I'm not good at it. Yeah. I've done it for like 5 years. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Oh God! I went.
But then I took up rugby, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, two nice. Soccer practices before I quit. I was just like, nope.
Two. Yeah.
Not going to walk in the rain up to practice in the rain on a rainy day in Seattle. It's just like no.
I can picture you like forgetting your shin pads one day and being like, "Well, going home."
It's one of those things where you have no interest in doing it, and just like yeah. You just were encouraged into it. It's like, I don't like doing this. I'm not interested. I don't like anything about it.
Yeah.
No.
I felt the same. My younger sister she had excessive ADD, so she was just bouncing off the walls at home and inherently doing like backflips and stuff. So my mom was like, well, you're in gymnastics now, but she didn't want to go. So then I had to do it. I'm the least flexible person ever. So I couldn't even do cartwheels. So I'm standing there with, just because my sister had to do it. But that feeling of you're just like, I do not.
This is not my thing. Because kids are just like adults. There's just stuff you don't like doing and stuff you do like doing. It's not like all kids should play piano. It's like, no, some kids really don't want to play piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to trust that and find a thing that they actually do.
Right.
And that was like my thing. I mean, I was never pressured too much into sports, but it was encouraged.
Yeah, I got really into skateboarding. And that
I was a BMX
over.
Kid, but that was my own self-driven thing. Yeah. Super into BMX.
Mm-hmm.
Like standing on the pedals and flipping the bike in between your legs?
No, no, like racing. This is in the like late 70s, early 80s.
It was all about speed.
So this is like when it was about racing. And,
being rad.
Yeah. I mean, racing is big in the Olympics now, but... Yeah. This was, just like a weekend thing. You'd go, and there'd be some weird logging road that they would have built a BMX track out near and go park up there. And people would, drive from all over the Seattle area. All huge, huge ones. And then they had the Nationals sometimes. Those were so cool.
Oh,
where all the big stars from California would come up and race. And it was just rad.
That's sweet.
I've been following that a little bit recently. New Zealand. BMX, like, dirt jumping scene in New Zealand is out of control. Yeah,
I mean, based it's gone, like everything else, it's gone nuts. And
is it based out of, what's it called? Never mind. Not, sorry, I derailed the conversation.
Oh, no worries.
I lived in Wellington for a minute.
Okay.
And so, but there's a hot spot on the North Island that's, like, all X Games.
Yeah, totally. These guys have like they have like jump parks where it's like a groomed like it looks
south
like a golf
Auckland.
Course,
yeah.
But it's all just perfectly spaced jumps like a dirt bike.
Yeah,
it's nuts,
incredible.
It's cool.
Yeah, back then it was a pretty crude affair. I mean, there were some pretty insane tracks like downhill ones, but for the most part they were very small scale things. It was very rudimentary compared to what it is today.
Mm-hmm. I bet really it was special. So cool to, like, build your own ramp.
Oh, and build your own ramps, build your own bike. I mean, I was as into just working on the bike as anything else.
Oh, cool.
Getting new parts and putting them on and souping it up. And
man, that's where I always failed at that kind of stuff. I rode dirt bikes and I rode bikes and stuff, but I was bad at repairing them, so I would just ride them into the ground.
Yeah.
Until they just disintegrated under my feet while I was riding them most of the time.
Yeah. I always loved gear, like... As a kid, the look of things, I think the look of BMX stuff, still I go through vintage BMX websites. I think there's one called like the BMX Library and just look at the old bikes and the color combos of them and the different logos and the way that you fetishized and thought about the brands. It was a lot like a precursor to getting into punk, which was the next thing I got into, where you get into certain bands and you like their graphic look and the sound and you think about where they're from and it's kind of... has this certain qualities that you ascribe to like one band. And that was the way it was with BMX bikes. You'd think about the different brands as like, that's from this place called Pompano Beach, Florida. I wonder what that's like, And
sweet.
I don't know. It's just cool. Yeah. I love that stuff. Back then, it was all magazine or fanzine driven stuff. So BMX had its own parallels to like the punk thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Those bikes are works of art.
Yeah.
I always... one year, being the new kid, I lied to a bunch of dudes. It was a skateboarding town in Onalaska, Wisconsin. And I was like, yeah. And I, for some reason, just was really into, like, Billabong shirts and Stussy shirts. And I just told him I skateboarded because my older sister was dating a guy who skateboarded. And he was really good at it. And he was notoriously really good at it. So I was like, well, I know this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a
skateboard.
I got a shorties board. And they're like, so then we live in a cul-de-sac, and then all the boys came over on their skateboards, knocked on the door. They're like, is Joanne here?
She's going to skate with us.
Could you skate with us? And I'm like, yeah.
Could you skateboard
And
at
I
all?
Legitimately, like, had, like I looked, I dressed like a little skateboarder kid. And so I grabbed the shorties board. I've never stood on it before. And so all of these, like, 12 boys that I'm trying to impress, I like stood and go, I don't know. I'm like, do you guys want a pogo stick instead? I had a pogo stick.
How did you get out of pogo sticking?
I mean, they clearly picked up on the fact that I was lying to them.
Because you would have totally
could
just
not
jumped, like
just,
even stand.
I mean,
on it.
Yeah, think about it. Sixth grade boys are like, oh my God, this babe knows how to skateboard. Yeah. We have to, like, they all got boners and they came to my house.
Skate boners.
The ultimate girl of all time.
Yeah, I was going to like slow mo scene, take my hair out of a helmet and whatever the
and
fuck.
She can, and then you're amazing shredder. You're just like ollie.
Yeah, I'm just fucking ollieing. I'm tic tacking. I'm doing it all.
They're just like,
lots of tic tacking.
I think it probably turned in their favor because I think I never admitted I was wrong, but I think I was like, oh, do you want to teach me something? Like, can you hold my hand? Like, I totally like flirted to like get out of the situation.
That's so funny. It's
We're still friends, so that's good.
That's good. You faked it till you made it.
Faked it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did one of those. They had the back of the school, like sand pits or whatever, because all these new development areas. So before pits would get developed, kids would have their like
BMX
their BMX bikes and stuff, and do you know, they made their own stuff. And one time I was like, oh yeah, I'll do it, I'll try it. So I was at the top of this hill and just like, okay. I mean, and this for my memory just went straight fucking down.
Yeah.
This like wood plank,
yeah.
No room. You have to all the way down and then off this ramp, but there was nothing at the end of it besides just like sand.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do with it. And thankfully I was always like, well, whatever, I'll try it. And so I got on it and just like, here we go. Like balanced all the way down, but then like got up, didn't know what to do, just let go of the bike in midair.
Ghost ride it.
Yeah, but never caught back on.
Ghost ride it.
So the bike went straight into the stand, but like the handlebars at an angle, like in it, and I just crotched the fuck out of it.
No.
And I mean, oh, I've never felt. Now I'm like, oh, I know those videos when like dudes get hit in the nuts. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. You kicked it out of the way and just landed on it.
Oh, it was the worst.
Caught a crossbeam in the nuts before.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a seat really hard pops up and your feet, especially when your feet, like in a race, your feet would fly off the pedals, land on the seat super hard on your taint.
Oh,
it was just brutal.
Because
the seats were, you know, completely unpadded, like hard plastic seats. They're not, BMX bikes were incredibly minimal.
I rode without a seat for a while and it was just the post and there was just always this thread of just ramming it up my asshole. But I lucked out.
Just
I never did.
You never sat, right?
No, I lowered it really low.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I broke my seat because I hit a jump and I sat down on it too hard and just destroyed the seat.
God.
So it was just like, I'll just ride with no seat for a while until I get a new one.
It was a post-ass.
Really just riding
that
line.
I remember just insane weekends where we'd build these ramps that were just like cinder blocks and plywood and just the roughest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like I just remember my brother going down and going off this ramp and then just the bike going out from under him and just going him going over the handlebars.
Was it your younger brother?
No, older.
Oh.
Just in the dust. Just
we would always build these big jumps like that, too, and we'd make my younger brother be the first one to hit it.
Yeah.
And he would just get wrecked. Caught a lot of crossbars to the nuts.
Yeah.
So, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Just rites of passage.
It is kind of, isn't
just
it?
Getting fucking
those bruises. Have you ever done water skiing?
No.
Yes, I did a lot of water skiing
as
a kid.
Yeah.
Water up your ass? Did you get an enema?
Oh my god! So it was the first time I tried it, and I got up like the second or third time, which was like pretty good. But my friend's dad was driving the boat, and he went in a circle, so I ended up catching my other waves.
Own, yeah.
But he wasn't going fast enough for it to like be okay. It was slow enough where like the waves were huge.
Yeah.
And so I like didn't know what to do. And I like feel myself slowly sinking down. I'm like, I'm just going to let go. Like I just thought I'd gracefully get into the water. But I let go and my legs snapped and I just crotched myself with the ski. Just, I thought I died. I was like, I split myself in half.
Like you're skiing along.
And then you decide to let go of the handles.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, because normally you let go and you just kind of like, dive into the water a little bit. Or you just like sink
like
in. Amen.
Kind of ride it out.
Ride it out. Yeah, just woo. That's what I thought was going to happen.
But there's a lot of hand stuff happening here. And I would just
I
realize
know,
it's a podcast. And I'm going, you mean like this?
Yeah.
With two fingers.
Like this.
Basically picture standing and then your right leg kick your knee out and then take the side of your foot and put it directly sideways into your crotch.
Like that.
Yeah.
But
with a metal fucking ski at, I don't know, 15 miles an hour.
Oh.
Jeez. That's intense.
Yikes.
I've had some nasty water ski crashes, but nothing like that. Mostly just a lot of water in my nose.
Yeah. I've never been on water skis. I don't think I ever will, and I'm okay with that.
I love water, but I don't like... I like boating and tubing and stuff, but like metal and water. I lifeguarded for too long. I can't. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Riding two
tubing.
Knives.
Yeah.
Rubber things. Water wings.
Water weenies.
Water weenies. pool noodles. Pool noodles.
I made skis into pool noodles.
How many skis in a pool noodle?
My father-in-law is really into barefoot water skiing, and it's crazy. Because they go so fast, and he just hangs off the side of the boat on this thing. Well, that's how when he got started. But now, he'll be like, punch it, and he'll be laying on his back, holding on to the ski rope, and just getting dragged through the water for a very long time.
He's probably orgasming.
He might be.
Does he spin around?
He really likes it. Yeah. Eventually he spins around and he's up on his feet and he does a bunch of cool shit. But he might be.
He might be.
It helps you to get up barefoot water skiing.
I just think of like it's so painful that it has to be erotic somehow at a certain point.
Yeah. And also the enema factor. Like, you know you're going to get just like straight up just vacuum or jet of water up
here. Yeah, it's coming out of its mouth.
Your backside. Yeah. You maybe have a high colonic.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
Definitely. He got hurt really bad doing it. Just like ate shit.
Oh, it can knock the wind out of you.
Water gets very
you're going so
hard.
Fast in the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
faster you go.
I went cliff jumping as a kid, and I, because believe
it
or not, like
a belly flop,
back flop.
Oh. Because
was the worst. It knocked the wind out of me. I swear to God, if there's not another kid in the water, I don't know what would have happened. But they say like,
did you get the wind knocked out?
Yeah. Because, I mean, Wisconsin's pretty hilly, like northern Wisconsin. There's some cliffs and stuff up there. And so we would go and jump in this lake. And they say the one thing, I mean, it's nerve-wracking. You know, so high that kind of like your knees are buckling. And then they're like, once you jump off, just free float, but then tense up every muscle before you hit the water and you'll be fine. And I watched a couple kids do it. I'm like, okay. And then I just jumped and immediately tensed up. So I was too tense. So by the time I hit the water, I was so stiff.
You just floated
that I fell
to your
on
back.
My back.
Oh, yeah.
It was
that's
awful.
Rough. I grew up near a very, I would say, treacherous rope swing.
Treacherous, yeah.
It was highly dangerous. There was a downed tree in the landing zone. And if you didn't know about it, there was a lot of like spiky fucking roots and shit you could get fucked up on.
Yeah.
That's always to clear the tree. You're like, why do kids do that?
Get past the tree.
Yeah, I have a joke about that. Well, not just this like story that I've told a few times on stage as a comic about that same thing of like growing up when I did where I did in like North Seattle, like in like the late 70s. It's just we were so free to just do anything. We just would leave and just, and one of the like stories was like a rope swing. Mm-hmm. There was just this super long rope from the tree with like a little stick of cherry wood, like really hard wood. And you'd just grab it by your hands and you'd run out over this, drop off and then just swing out on your hands. And down below was like all like these little trees that had been cut down. So it's just basically like punji sticks, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so the point was not to let go in the water. You would just go to come back.
No, you would go and then you'd come around on the other side and then you'd run in because it's like sloped down. So you'd sort of do this like out over the thing.
Oh yeah!
You're literally just flying
over.
And like the joke is like we were like one sweaty palm away from a colostomy bag for life. You know,
yeah.
We'd just like because we do it like 20 times.
Oh sure.
You know, just let's go again, and you go so far out that if you let go, just rocket you into like
you have no idea.
I saw so many people get fucked up at the rope swing.
Woods, just all trees and nettles and sticker bushes.
Yep. There should be more ghost stories about like kids who've died just doing random kid shit.
Oh yeah.
The rope swing we grew up on was like on a gravel bank, like over the river next to a paper plant. And I saw so many people get fucked up because they waited too long.
Yeah.
They'd be standing up there and they'd just stand there and they'd try and psych themselves up. And by the time they went, they had nothing and they would just fall. As soon as the rope straightened out, they would fall 12 feet into like 3 feet of water.
Adrenaline
is
half the battle with that stuff.
Like they just want to get out there far enough.
You had to get through that. Where the rope straightened out, and when it started to come up, then you could let go.
So you
couldn't let go early, or you would just eat shit down the bank,
or
like hit the water. So I saw a dude, Will Ragsdale, I grew up with. He had really long hair, and his hair got wrapped up on it.
Oof.
And he let go, and
the rope.
I swear he hung in the air for a second, and then it fucking went. And there was a chunk of his hair wrapped up on the rope that swung back. It was nasty.
Oof.
It had to hurt so bad.
How did the hair got caught in
the
rope?
He spun. As he went off the rope, he spun. And when he jumped off, he kind of threw the rope behind him and went through his hair and just like caught a big chunk of it.
There was a story. Someone told me it was debunked, but there's some Canadian actress or something that got beheaded by her scarf in a car.
What?
So kind of the same scenario. So the story goes.
Like a silk scarf.
A silk scarf, yeah. Like was in a head wrap, and then it was long, waving while she was in the passenger seat and driving in like a 1950s convertible or something like that. I don't know, eras. And driving, and the scarf got caught in the back wheel.
Oh, shit.
Like hubcap.
It sounds like a cartoon, but
took her head off.
It's like sort of like Jane Mansfield. Didn't Jane Mansfield's head got cut off?
Is that the person?
But it wasn't like that. Well, I'm just thinking, of a substance that would be so strong.
Yeah, he's painting the picture.
That it would turn into a rope that could cut a head off.
Right.
Because, I mean, a lot of fabrics would just...
Yeah. They say she still haunts that stretch of highway. And if you take off her silk rope around her neck, her head falls off.
Yeah, right. She rides in the... That's scary.
I used to be obsessed reading those kind of haunted stories of like weird ways people.
Oh, I used to love that stuff.
Yes.
I used to love all the creepy comics that were like ghost stories or
spooky stories to tell at night.
Yeah.
Oh, those are so good.
Oofed, yeah. They made a movie.
Yeah. I hear they're making a movie of that book.
Yeah.
I hope it's cool. I hope. Oh man. Let's play some more music here. Let's jump into this. Let's just jump right in here. All right, there's a record label called Fake Four Incorporated, and they do this cool thing around December every year called Freecember. And every year in December, most record labels and stuff, they don't release anything new, not anything big, really. It's mostly the end of the year lists and award season and stuff, so there's not a lot of new stuff coming out. So they use that time to put out local up-and-coming bands around the country that they really like that don't have a huge following yet and that they want to help out, and they put it out for free, and they've been doing it for 5 years, and they are celebrating that with a pretty awesome comp on Bandcamp you can check out. This is off of their first one that they ever did, and this is a sweet band from Toronto called Yes Yes Hobby Horse, and this song is great, and it's got that just kind of a glammy kind of 70s rock vibe to it that I really like. It's really short too, it's only a minute and a half long. It's called Whores and Thieves Need Places to Live Too. We do a segment on this show called License Plate Detective, where I see vanity plates out in Portland and the surrounding areas, and some of them just don't make any sense. So I got a couple to throw at you guys, see if you can maybe make a little more sense than I could.
Okay,
the first one is Surf, the number 4, GD.
Surf.
This is one Nate showed told me about a long time ago that I finally...
Surf GD. For God.
Surf for God.
So this guy's just a really religious surfer?
Yeah, he's
for God.
Yeah, he's a pastor.
Yes.
Not even a priest, a pastor.
Yes.
A youth.
Youth.
Cool pastor.
Youth pastor.
Yeah, he plays guitar for sure. Loves Jack Johnson.
Or is he just on the internet all day?
Yeah. He's an internet surfer for God. He's out there.
He's an internet surfer for God.
He could be.
He's just constantly Googling Mother Teresa.
Or maybe the GD is actually Grateful Dead, and he's just a really big Grateful Dead fan.
Dead.
He likes to crowd surf at Grateful Dead shows.
Surf.
It could be Surf for Good. Yeah, because he surfs for good, not evil.
Surf for good. Yeah, maybe evil he's surfers a dumpster diver.
Surfing for good.
Yeah. And he's surfing for good finds.
Surfing for goods.
And he's just trying to resell them. He actually, he's as a hoarding fetish.
It could be. All right, let's do another one here. This one was weird. I saw this one up in Spokane, and I had to write this one down. Hard no. H-A-R-D space N-O.
What kind of car was it?
It was a giant black truck.
So we know what it is. But
I kind of think it was like this.
Yeah. Hard no.
Mm.
Hard no.
I thought
they were asking him, like, are you hard? And he was saying, no, I'm not hard. Stop asking me. I'm just driving my giant truck.
He's in a truck.
Hard?
Yeah.
No.
I think that's just his personality. He's just like a guy that gets shit done, you know? And if people ask him, he's just like, dude, I'm 100% in or I'm 100% out all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm a hard yes.
A no,
I'm also a hard
yeah. no.
Or maybe this was, maybe someone proposed to him and that was his response.
It's a hard no. And I need a license plate to tell the world.
Yeah. Maybe he's just got erectile
dysfunction. I won't marry you, Darlene.
I think it's erectile dysfunction.
He never gets hard.
No, I can't get hard. This truck is my weird
don't ask
outside
me.
Of my body
Did
dick.
Do you have truck nuts?
Oh, man, I didn't look. You should always look, though. You should always look.
Hard, never. Not at all. Ask my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's a badass from New Orleans.
Could be.
Hard N-O. I'm a hard N-O.
Oh, I thought you were saying like that was like a Cajun accent. Hard, no?
Hard,
this truck? This truck, it's hard, no?
No, he's...
That's a good Cajun accent.
Yeah, I just say no after everything.
Cajun.
No. I've learned that from the X-Men cartoon. Oh, man. This is another one that Nate told me about a long time ago, and I saw this car in the Safeway parking lot on Woodstock the other day. C-A-R-M-J-C.
C-A-R-M.
Space, J-C. I think that's
Cram it, Jesus Christ.
It could be. Or it could be Carmel Jesus.
C-A-R-M. Carm.
C-A-R-M.
Oh.
Carm J-C.
That's Carmel Jesus.
Carmel.
It's a
Carmel,
maker.
Mount Carmel Junior College.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone
finally got
college
tenure.
So hard they needed a vanity plate. Dude, I was the king of my junior college.
I was the king.
A beer pong champ for junior college.
That
life.
Was when they peaked Carm in J-C? Their sports career.
Yeah,
Carm J. I'm going with Mount Carmel Junior College. This is a person who
it sounds solid.
Whose life changed.
Or Carmen Junior. That's probably his name.
Junior Club.
Or JC. Sorry, I keep making my own letters.
It's got to be Jesus Christ, though. Whenever I see JC,
for sure.
It's like, yeah,
Carm JC.
Mm-hmm. Not a good license plate, though.
Coming around...
CJ Mark, that's background.
Rheumatoid mother JC.
That makes sense.
That's
Jesus
it.
Christ.
Rack.
Mystery solved. Yeah.
No, that one's going to stay a mystery.
Oh, here's another good one I saw the other day. This was all together, no spaces. CPRMDL. Is this person a CPR model? It's like, is that what they do?
Certified public, no.
Dude, that's full circling to my childhood dreams.
CPR,
I just go places and people try and resuscitate me.
I'm just really good at acting dead, so they hired me to be a CPR model.
CPR.
Yeah, I have a baby one right behind the monitor right there, a baby CPR dummy.
Yeah, those are impressions of the person.
CPR model.
Oh, that's the model. Okay, yeah.
CPR models.
What if the person driving it was a crash test dummy?
Oh, they've become sentient.
And then you're like, what?
Started putting
sentient crash test dummies.
Yeah, they're very dangerous.
CPR model. This is my part. This part of the podcast is just me repeating over and over. CPR model.
Just in the background for those who didn't get it.
CPR Memdel. CPR. It's very compelling. CPR MDL. Just light on the numbers.
It could actually just be a real license plate. They didn't even do that.
You're just sitting there like, dude, what does it mean? You're just high.
Yeah.
It's just a normal license plate. It's a random. Oh, shit.
Oh,
fuck.
Man.
I've been looking
You're
at that
right,
for
man.
A half hour. Trying to figure out what
I saw my dad's name in it.
Yeah, it says Carl. Modal.
B-3-L-H-J-Y.
Oh, this one also might be the same thing then.
C-R-A-Z-O-R.
Space Z-O-R.
Z Crazor. Crazor.
It sounds like some kind of a cool like monster movie villain.
Crazor.
The Crazor. He's so crazy, but he's also a dinosaur. And he has his own car.
Or his name. Yeah, his last name's like Olson, and he's upset about it, so he's trying to like hype himself up.
That could just be two people's initials.
It could be. It could be. Or maybe it's backwards.
You guys.
Our Zach.
Olson wants you to stop calling him Olson. You got to call him Ozar.
Yeah, Olson. Olson's kind of sick of being the one of five Olsons in the room. He wants to be Crazar now. He got the license plate. All I got to give it the commitment.
Dude, he paid extra money for it.
Crazor.
Praise Crazor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to stay a mystery, too.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Oh, well, let's do one more right now, and we'll call it quits on the license plates for the night. MT space BOY.
Mount Boys.
BOY. Oh.
BOY. Mount Boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mount Boy. Oof, this is tricky territory now.
You should be concerned about
Mountain Boys. I bet there is. I bet someone already has Mountain Boys. So he's like, "Well, I just want to be. I'll just be Mountain Boy
I'm
then.
Mountain boy.
I guess I am the Mountain Boy.
Yeah,
the one and only Mountain Boy.
Mountain Boy.
I'm a Mountain Boy, but then you have to think about mounting boys.
Yeah, totally. Right. That's what I first thought when I looked at it. I was like, "That's a weird pedophile.
Mountain
Boys. Like, get that. I'm Mountain
Boys. Might as well just say humping kids.
Yeah, that's." That's where you first think when you're like, what a creep.
I'm
and then you're like, oh, but he's got a shovel. And he's got like a gas tank on the outside of his thing. That guy goes to the mountains all the time.
He's a mountain boy.
No, he just,
not yet a man.
He chops woods. He chops wood. That's how he heats his home.
Woods.
He's a mountain boy. Technically, you are chopping woods.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're chopping the woods.
He chops multiple woods. He is the mountain boy.
And then you know what? Then he pulls into a Wendy's right next to a mountain girl.
They share a blizzard.
They share a blizzard. Yeah.
He has blizzard. French fries. She has a blizzard. It was love at first sight.
He dips. You know, they combine the food.
Yeah. That's such a winning combination.
Dip in the blizzard.
Oh, man. Well, let's play some more music. Made that real weird.
That was that game.
That was the end of that game. Thanks for playing.
Can I button a story, short story with that?
Yes.
So I worked for a local lawyer, boss ass lady, love her to death, and she bought a Mercedes-Benz out of spite because her nemesis had one. And then she wanted, my duty that day was to come up with a vanity license plate for this Benz. And this particular... human, I came up with a lot of things, and one of them was pearl necklace, and that's the one she liked the most, and she knew what it meant.
That's awesome.
That.
Nice. I hope I see that car out in the world. Oh man, well, let's get into some music here. This is kind of a tie-in to stand-up comedy because Old Grape God did an open mic. He really enjoyed himself, and he wants to do more stand-up comedy. So, more power to you, dude. Keep doing it, but keep putting out these dope rap songs, too, because I love it. This is off of his newest EP that he just dropped off with this song features Goals, and it's called Maintenance.
You ain't gotta burn bridges. I ain't trying to burn bridges, but I got a few clothes for maintenance. Maintenance. You ain't gotta burn bridges, but I got a few clothes for maintenance. Maintenance. I ain't trying to burn bridges, but I got a few clothes for abuse vectors of the layman, saturation of a bastard's patient. Patient, passion in the mix like smack for pavement. No forgiving, battery draining. I hate waiting, you love to procrastinate. Hazards of the occupation, out of pocket, no chain on my watch. Paint stains on my club. No chain on my watch. Paint stains on my club. Ashley, Larry, David, Lee, Rothschild. No sauce mouth. No. Ashley, Larry, David Lee Rothschild, no side smile. Poet for the audio files. Probably go a mile off an inch. Mile off an inch. Rest
the grandma just to get my hands dirty again. I'm up early smoking timber out the window, riding bars like Cream and Doja. It looks like I'm a Luau Cinder. In my splendor and this vendor's pre-distressed jeans on a pre-depressed teens and no one needs a rhinestones on a T. Not even ironically, I only wear 3/16s with my patch, but where my wallet be? Looking to catch me hobbling around the pop-up in a hand-me-down Wallabies. It was all a dream. 2017 and our vices include reading Hollow Logic, a Facebook lot of degrees, gossipy. Fuck it, we all lost to see. Maybe apathy is the guide to me. Keep your ideals as close as you need. Smoke you some make-believe. Smoke you some make-believe. Make-believe. Smoke you some make-believe. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. It's an endless spiral. Idols die before they validate you. Now you hope your cries will help go viral. Cries will help, hoping that they go viral. You ain't gotta burn bitches, but I got a few clothes for maintenance. Maintenance.
Oh man, so Drew's not here tonight, and in his he did send me some questions that he wanted me to ask you guys while you were here.
Perfect.
So, well, let's kick it off with this. This didn't surprise me at all. He wants to know what your favorite Blink 182 songs are.
Yes.
It's his favorite band.
Dude, I'm a huge Blink 182 fan.
Really?
That's yeah. Awesome. Oh my god. Yeah. Nice. Growing, I was always like, I'm not a boy band. This is my skater punk phase we already talked about, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not into boy bands, but Blink-182 is totally a boy band, but I never thought that until probably 2 years ago. I actually went, I never got to see Blink-182 live in concert. I was so upset. My sister got to see Smashing Pumpkins, her favorite band, at Warped Tour in Milwaukee. And Blink-182 was playing the same year. My mom was like, no, you can't go. You're too young.
There's too many fucks.
Well, she's like, this was your sister's thing, not yours. And then I never got to see them, and they broke up. And I went as far as to get tickets to Angels and Airwaves.
Wow.
So I could see what
see
the fuck.
Some part of it. Yeah. That was kind of how it was with me and Fish. I gave up on caring about seeing Fish long before I saw them. And then Mike Gordon came through town and was like, I'll go see a guy that's in Fish. And that was enough for me.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
I got
that
it out of my
happens?
System.
Exactly. Right? You get out of your system. I was totally out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You followed Fish?
Is that I what you said?
I got my
yeah. Oh, yeah, I was a big Fish guy.
Dude, I didn't put it past you for some reason. Jason Trigger's insulted.
No, I just it's just funny to think I'm being following Fish.
For 4 years I spent my life just following Fish.
Pretty much just Fish guy, Fish head, you know.
Did you
my favorite
Blink
182 is the one that goes. What's that one called?
All the Small Things?
All the Small Things, yeah. That's
very good
that's
one.
The classic.
That's pretty good.
My favorite, wow. My favorite is Damn It. Off the album.
Dude Ranch.
Dude Ranch. Will not go. But also Sweet Spot for Josie, because I felt that was part of my name, too.
That's a good song. Yeah.
It's a good song. I do.
Band.
I had a love spot. I got to go back and do Cheshire Cat from beginning to end, but that's original members.
Yeah.
That's not even.
Yeah, the song
before.
Benoit Balls off of there is great. That song's pretty funny. What else did Drew ask? What else does Drew have questions about?
It's on Drew's.
Oh, he wants to know who would be a better roommate, the Hamburglar or Ronald McDonald?
Hamburglar. Hands down.
Or wait, no, that was not what it said. Fuck. I read that wrong.
It's a great question.
It was the Burger King or Ronald McDonald.
Okay. Oh. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, it makes way more sense. Fuck.
Ronald.
Oh, well. I mean, I guess if you have a fear of clowns, that's an easy decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that Burger
King. Is the King actually, does he want to be treated like.
The King is great. The King doesn't
He doesn't speak.
He doesn't have his smile down ever.
Think of all the red pubes in the drain.
Ooh. Or just waking up to him standing over you, watching you sleep.
See, right. If I recall, he's a good-looking guy, full head of hair, big beard.
Ronald McDonald's just out there, like, helping kids with cancer.
He's got the clown white. Get that all over the place.
Yeah, so many houses.
So many houses.
His shoes, you'd always be tripping over him.
Yeah, he would. He would.
Yeah,
he,
so you sound
when
more
he takes
king.
His makeup off at night, it's a mess. But I don't know. The Burger King looks like he parties like a lot harder. Yeah. Ronald McDonald goes to sleep at a like reasonable hour.
He's kind of
chill out, guys.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald might be more annoying.
I think he's a Republican too. He seems like a real conservative.
It would come down to if the Burger King wants to be treated like actual royalty, because that would get old fast.
Yeah, because he's kind of a self-appointed king. This king of burgers. His burgers aren't even that good.
It's been years. I mean, I honestly can't think of the last time. I do know the last time I was in a Burger King, actually.
Really?
I have a very specific memory. Are you aware of the comic Tim Hammer, who used to be, Portland comic, used to be very active? He had a thing for the Burger King crispy chicken sandwich. That was like his. Joanne is nodding. She knows what I'm talking
because
about.
Well, because it wasn't even a whole thing. It was in strips, right?
I thought he ate the crispy chicken sandwich. Or
the original chicken sandwich, the long one?
I just remember it being called the crispy chicken sandwich.
Okay, that's a different one.
Because I remember he said something about that his diet consisted almost exclusively of crispy chicken sandwiches, Costco muffins, Hot Pockets, and Pop-Tarts, I think he said, was like almost all that he ate, period.
Period.
And like I introduced him to broccoli for the first time. He had broccoli. and he was like, this is really good. And I was like, yeah, there's an amazing world of really good food available to you. You're just eating literal garbage.
Have you had avocado?
I mean, we went down to L.A. together and went to like, you know, like super good Vietnamese restaurants in Echo Park that were like turmeric fish soup with, you know, it just, and he was like, this is incredible. This is like, amazing.
This is okay. Yeah. Do they have Hot Pockets?
Well, we did go to Chick-fil-A, though, because he wanted to get the chicken sandwich.
I'm surprised that someone who wasn't exposed to that would be open to that. That's an interesting, thing.
No, he was. Some things he wouldn't try, but he was pretty open. Yeah, and it made me happy to expose him to foods, But so that was the last time I was in a Burger King. Was we were going to the Helium Mike, and he was like, "Do you want to walk over to Burger King?" So I didn't get anything, but he got a crispy chicken sandwich.
Oh man!
And then we looked at this crazy mural that they've
Burger
since
King
taken
sucks.
Down. The one that over by Helium.
That one by Helium is one of the worst Burger Kings
in the nation.
Did you ever go inside there?
Yes, I've been in there.
Okay.
Pretty raw.
Did you ever notice the big like photo that was in there? It was of a group of like a rainbow ethnicity group of people enjoying Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that was interesting about, because I was sat there with Tim not eating, so I was just staring at this thing. That you usually wouldn't think twice about it. You just kind of see it, just some bullshit graphic inside of Burger King. But I was looking at it, and the crazy thing about it was this like rainbow group of people, maybe five or six people, and they were at home with like a nice table with like china and glasses and all their Burger King food on. Like the milkshakes were in big glasses. Like they had. It implied that they went to Burger King.
They were royalty. Yeah.
Or it's just that they went to Burger King. They got all their food in bags, brought it home, plated all of it, like put them all on glass plates, and like with silverware and stuff, and then put the milkshakes from the paper cup into a glass cup. Like I was, because it just struck me. I'm looking at it going like. Literally no one in the history of Burger King has done that with their food.
Dude, I don't know.
Can you imagine? Do you think it tastes better?
Fast food? I'll take it home and out of the wrapper and put on a plate and eat it.
But you wouldn't like...
Sit down for a family dinner.
But I wouldn't
dinner.
Like dress up.
I'd have like a bunch of people over. Like a bunch of people over for like, we're going to go get Burger King, bring it home, plate it up. But even that scenario of plating up fast food is so uncommon.
It's very uncommon.
Really?
You eat out of the paper.
No.
You do. You eat it in your car.
I mean, maybe Burger King, you know. I mean, not Burger King, but like Kentucky Fried Chicken. I remember as a kid like going to get that, bringing it home, and like, okay, let's get the bucket out. And then everybody
that made more sense.
In a bucket.
Yeah, because that's like a bucket.
Yeah.
But like anything that comes in a bag, you just eat out of the goddamn bag.
I don't know. I'm a weird
Have you ever put a milkshake into a glass when you got home? Give me this. That's absurd.
No, that is
absurd. That's correct.
And French fries was the other thing. Like French fries put on a plate. Like You know how gross they're going to be by the time you get them home and plate up the French fries?
There's a very short shelf life on French fries.
You want to eat them right as soon as you get them.
Yeah, as hot as possible. Yeah. I want them to burn my mouth just a little bit.
Yeah, they get exponentially worse every minute that goes by.
That's true.
That well, yeah, I always
hosting for Shane. We got fry. Sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. You got the sampler. Yeah, because
he's on all funny all fantasy everything. That's his. This moniker. So people would send back these sample platters. So that's one night we got two sample platters. And if you've ever had the helium sample platter, they're big.
They're huge.
It's like, you know, six mozzarella sticks, seven or eight, you know, fried zucchinis, French fries, just all fried food. And when they first got there, I was like, God, these are amazing. And then, of course, 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, this food is
soggy.
Horrible.
It's just wet.
Cold.
Wet in its own heat.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
It's been sweating. It's got the sample platter sweats.
Sample. Oof. I ate a lot of sample
it's
platter.
It's funny when the food has its own sampler platter sweats. Yeah.
Usually I get that.
Yeah.
Two of those was a lot of sample platters.
What else did Drew ask? He asked a bunch of weird shit. He asked if spiders have vaginas. I mean, no, we all know they don't, right?
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
That's
we know that.
Egg layers.
They're fucking arachnids, Drew. Grow up.
But they have a hole. Just
Google it. They're egg layers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What animal would make the best hat?
A raccoon.
I mean, traditionally, it's been a raccoon.
Traditionally. Dude, I don't know, though. Have you ever seen those bear hats?
No. That sounds
black
nice.
Bear?
Are you talking about an actual animal to stay on your head?
Oh, like a full animal?
Yeah.
Oh, then, yeah, then that limits it. Like, maybe like a large squirrel?
It's a fat cat.
Cat
hat. Too sneezy.
I call him fat cat.
Yeah.
I would
as far as like fur goes, yeah, bear fur is probably the most superior of animal
I would
furs.
Take a koala bear just literally nestling. Like, it could put its legs around my neck and
like
then
live koala.
Hang onto my head.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Except for I hear they're very mean and they have chlamydia.
I've heard that.
Yes. Yeah.
They're crazy. They look so nice.
I saw a video on the internet, as we all do. Of there's a breed of monkeys in Asia that are just humping deer.
Oh yeah,
and getting off on it. Did you see that?
They're just rubbing though. I looked at it. They're not actually like trying to insert in the deer.
No, they're just climaxing.
They just climax. They just rub on their
rubbing,
backs. Yeah,
but to climax.
Yeah.
Does that mean that deer fur would make a really good hat?
Apparently, deer fur has something going on.
It's got a very good friction level for a monkey dick.
Very fluffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it might. Yeah, but there has to be. It has to be a combo of fluff and firm.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of things sitting on heads, and then also things sitting on other things. Animals sitting on other animals.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, I'm gonna work on that one.
I need to know if the animal's dead or alive. That makes a difference.
Well, I mean, it would be nice if it was alive, but for most part, like most animals aren't gonna sit on your head for very long.
It's not gonna be a very satisfying hat experience.
No.
Bunny rabbits are soft.
Bunny rabbits are so soft. Yes. Or maybe you could go the other side of it and get like a lizard hat. It would last a lot longer.
Or a porcupine hat that just says, don't touch me.
Oh, fuck yeah. Porcupine hat would be dope.
I didn't realize that there were porcupines in this region. One time I pulled into my mom's house near Olympia, and in the driveway was a porcupine, and it quilled up on me. And I was amazing.
That's awesome.
I did not even know. I lived in Washington most of my life. Never even knew they were native.
Yeah. I'd seen them in northern Michigan, but they're so kind of cool. Smaller, and they're usually like I'm driving in a car, and I'm like, whoa, there's a porcupine. Yeah. Holy shit.
How big?
Well, I only saw it in a flash of my headlights, but it looked big. It looked as big as a raccoon, at least, but then with the quills, even bigger.
Like 3 feet kind of thing?
Yeah. It was bigger than a raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
But because like I've seen pictures of like the quills before, because they fall off and they regrow. But before they get kind of long, so they kind of like drag them when they walk. Mm-hmm. And so to have that be steadfast, that's cool.
Yeah, when the lights hit on it, it went up, quilled up, and I was like, wow.
Would it be awesome if all of a sudden they like glistened and you're like, oh my God, what if porcupines were glittery?
Ooh.
Psychedelic but porcupines. No one knew.
Glassy, glittery porcupines. Awesome. I like it.
It would be super cool. All right. Well, let's play some more music here. This is a band called Sombrero from South America. And they play kind of just like, it kind of reminds me of like what Federale does in Portland, where it's like kind of like a spaghetti Western soundtrack to like a movie that doesn't exist.
but they have awesome vocals and stuff. So check this band out. This song is called El Sabio.
Niño, tú que sueñas con un valle perdido en el medio de la luna. Hoy bien puede ser que cruces aquel umbral. Niño, ya estás cerca, no vayas a dejar. Ya no pares de remar. En el horizonte se alcanza a ver amarte. Esta luna, dime dónde viene a parar toda esta sal. Y cuando cae la noche, y ya no hay más compañía. Para el día es que empiezas a imaginar, empiezas a preguntar si alguna de esas estrellas y ya para ti.
Joanne, Jason, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Great music, too, by the way. Thanks for taking the direction on that. I'm going to have to write down these names of that.
Oh, yeah. Check out all these bands on Bandcamp. You can find links to this stuff all on our Facebook page. And most of it's pay what you want, so check it all out.
Sweet.
Pay what you like.
Oh, before we go here, Jason, can you tell us a little bit about your show, The Traeger Method?
Traeger Method, we're going to be... Well, Traeger Method is a YouTube channel,
okay,
and it's a podcast. It's going to be. I'm working on one, have it out this week. And then it's also a live show.
Mm-hmm.
Just put a mint in my mouth. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that.
I'm sucking on
perfect
a mint. It's very.
I was like, did you bite your tongue?
What I'm you just. It's a very interesting show. It's the Traeger Method. It's a multimedia, comedy, musical experience. It's a chance for me to just shine and put together a whole bunch of different things. Tomorrow night I will be at Helium. This
will be
gonna be in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you hear this, but I will be taking it live at
I'm sorry, I can't stop staring at you.
I have 3 mints in my mouth.
Way
you
too
went
many
deep
mints.
On the mints.
Too many mints.
I could take them out, you know. I mean, we're going to correct all this in post. I mean, right.
Right.
A bunch of cool effects. Okay.
I like what you're still doing with it. Like, you could bite one and get them out of there, but no, you are minting it out.
No, I got too many in the mouth. So, I'm very excited about it. This is going to be a big project this year. I'm going to be doing some stuff at Open Signal this month, filming different things. It's going to be multimedia, comedy, musical, costume madness.
Awesome. Make sure you check that out.
TraegerMethod.com, Traeger Method on
Instagram.
Yeah, I saw a soft opening of Traeger Method Live, and it's phenomenal. You have to go check it out for real. There.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah. It was fun.
Keep track of that.
It's going to evolve and morph.
And Joanne, where can we find your stuff?
Thanks. Well, Control Yourself every Sunday at Alberta Street Pub.
Amazing show. The
amazing
best
show.
The best in town.
Go. Thank you. Get there early. Doors are at 8:30.
Also, you won't have a seat. It's always packed.
Yeah, yeah. Doors are at 8:30. Get there early. It is free. And it's also a podcast, so you can hear it. We record the show live every first Sunday of the month, and that is on SoundCloud for free at Control Yourself. And then also another comic and I, funny dude, Jake Silberman,
very
and
funny.
I run a brunch show at The Lamp attached to The Aladdin, and that is every second Sunday of the month, or I'm sorry, second Saturday of the month. Get there at noon to get their
great
food.
Show. It's called Yolks and Jokes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yolks great and show. Jokes.
Also a very good show.
It's really fun. It's a cool way to have a brunch show because it's interactive. So comics do short sets, and then audience members, before the show starts, they write their terrible or funny or ridiculous hangover stories or worst brunch scenarios or some sort of... God, that wasn't fun. Worst brunch scenarios.
Worst brunch scenarios.
Or morning after pills and stories or whatever you want to share anonymously, and it gets put in a bucket. So then comics do a short set and then pull from the bucket and riff off of the story. So it creates this really fun interact. Yeah. It's really dope. It's really great. So that's second Saturdays at The Lamp.
Excellent show.
Yeah. And here's a new thing we're trying. Plug somebody else's show.
Mm.
I would if Joanne wasn't here, I'd be plugging her show.
Oh, that's nice. So kind of you. Thank you. Nice. Also, vice versa with Traeger Method.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Well, that backfired, but no. It was very nice.
Tim Ledwith's Loose Cannon show is the show I'm going to be performing on tomorrow.
Excellent.
I will plug that. No, here's
we love
Tim. Wait
a
second.
Yeah.
When will this come out? This is going to be, will it be out before January 24th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to plug Jacob Christopher,
mm-hmm.
the great comic Jacob Christopher, who I know has appeared on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He will be having a going away roast
at
Helium Comedy Club. That's on the 24th of January at 8 p.m.
I'm going to be on it.
I'm going to be on it. A bunch of great comics. It'll be a very great, fun, free-spirited romp in celebrating and
it's always fun.
Jacob Christopher. He's a target. He's ginger, and he's a redneck. So he's easy to make fun
he
of.
He really is. And that's
so that's the 24th Helium Comedy Club. Jacob Christopher going away roast. Be there.
Yes,
it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and good luck in L.A.
Good
you.
Luck, Jacob.
JC.
He's down there right now getting an apartment. He says he found a tiny place for $1,000.
Oh hell yeah, dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's doing it.
And you can check out all of our stuff at Facebook. You can check us out at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to actually send us a message, that'd be cool. Or you can just go over to our Facebook and our Instagram at hurtgerbish at Instagram. If you want to see weird pictures of stuff I find on the internet and occasionally a link to an episode. Let's see. What should we go out on here? Oh, let's go out on this German footwork producer named Ticklish with a remix of Drake's Jumpman.
I don't understand the words you just said.
That was a mouthful, and I'm delighted.
German what work foot?
Footwork is a Chicago electronic music movement that happened in the mid-late 90s, early 2000s, and it was really fast, and there's a lot of dancing.
So involved. Sweaty.
Footwork.
So, yeah, this is off of his album called Romantic Footwork.
Heard they came through Magic City on a Monday. Heard they had the club wild, it was star-studded. A bunch of girls going wild when your chain flooded. And I had them like, wow, cup dudded.
Jumpin', 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 jump, jumpin', jump, jumpin'. Jumpin', 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 them boys up to something. Jumpin', 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 jump, jumpin', jump, jump, jump. Jumpin', 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 them boys up to something. Jumpin', 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 jump, jumpin', jump, jumpin'. Jumpin', 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 them boys up to something. Jumpin', 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 jump, jumpin', jump, jump, jump. Jumpin', 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 them boys up to something.
I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard.
uns, aber ich sehe hier keine anderen.
Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump, jump in, jump, jump in. Jump in, jump in, jump in, them boys are the something. Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump, jump in, jump, jump in. Jump in, jump in, jump in, them boys are the something. Ooh. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard. Ooh. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard. Ooh. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard. Ooh. 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 Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump, jump in, jump, jump in. Jump in, jump in, jump in, them boys are the something. Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump, jump in, jump, jump in. Jump in, jump in, jump in, them boys are the something. Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump, jump in, jump, jump in. Jump in, jump in, jump in, them boys are the something. Jump in, jump in, jump in, jump, jump in, jump, jump in. Jump in, jump in, jump in, them boys are the something.